Hello and thanks for joining us. You're listening to the second episode of the Citation Podcast with me, Jill McAteer, Head of Employment Law at Citation. In our previous episode, I discussed the HR considerations employers should take into account when bringing their employees back into the workplace. With variants of concern continuing to crop up around the country and the pressure to maintain a COVID-secure environment to keep people safe, it continues to be extremely important for employers to think about their health and safety obligations. In fact, in a recent survey of Citation clients, an overwhelming 83% of employers said they feel more responsible and pressurised in ensuring the health and safety of their employees than pre-COVID. So in today's episode, I'll be joined by my colleague, Michael Brown, Health and Safety Content Manager at Citation, where we'll be looking at some of the key considerations in terms of health and safety for reopening your workplace. Welcome to the podcast, Michael.
Thanks, Jill. It's good to be here.
Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about your background?
Yeah, sure. So until recently, I was one of the Citation field consultants going out into the field, meeting with businesses and just inspecting, doing advice and, you know, giving them hints and tips. So really, you know, throughout COVID and the pandemic, there have been a number of areas where certain businesses have been falling down. Quite often it's quite simple. Other times it's a little bit more systemic. So, you know, hopefully we can cover some of that off today.
And what do you find are the most common pitfalls that you come across?
The most common pitfalls, and one of the simplest ones to put right, is that businesses don't clean their premises properly enough. Quite often you get, oh, it's not my job, it's someone else's. Or where they are cleaning it, they just don't bother to record it. When people are being inspected, quite often they expect to see evidence that that's being done. So one of the main things I'd always advise people to do is record the cleaning that they're carrying out for each premises. Do it if you're out the day, if you can, and just really keep a few records, only a couple of weeks worth, but at least it shows due diligence.
Are there any other simple things that businesses can do to really help make their environment much more COVID secure?
On a day-to-day basis, again, actually enforce social distancing is another one. Quite often I walk in and they have the most fantastic risk assessment that no one at all is obeying. People all huddled over desks, and it's just reminding people of that day-to-day sort of human behaviour. You know, we all want to meet and huddle up. We all, well, most of us, some of us not necessarily, but we all want to have that sort of contact with other colleagues. And even something as simple as pointing at something on a screen, you immediately enter that person's space. So again, it's just being aware, and management have a responsibility as well to enforce the rules and remind staff what they should be doing.
Do you think that businesses are likely to find more challenge with this as the economy reopens and now, for example, we're able to mix indoors? Do you think that's going to be more of a challenge to manage within the workplace?
Absolutely. There's a real parallel, isn't there? It's a bit odd because at the moment you can go meet in a restaurant or a bar indoors in a group of up to six people, but actually in the workplace we're still saying, oh no, you ought to stay socially distanced. If it's possible and you can work from home effectively, you should still be doing so. In fact, I believe they were supposed to release the findings of the social distancing report, as in, you know, looking to reduce the 2 metre distance. They seem to have delayed that, and I think that's due to the emergence of the new variants of the virus. So really, you know, yes, as things get more normal and as more people get vaccinated, the tendency and the human element is we don't need to do this. We still do from a legislative point of view. So it's important in the workplace to keep distance.
Many businesses, of course, will have gone through this previously when we had the period last summer when businesses could reopen their workplaces and a lot of effort went into putting together COVID secure risk assessments. Which then, unfortunately, as we entered into lockdown, had to be abandoned. Is it the case that businesses can simply dust those off and then implement them when it comes to reopening their workplaces within the next few weeks?
I think the answer to that would be it depends. So when we went through, obviously, with the reopening, we had tiers, then we didn't have tiers, then we had a lockdown, then we didn't. And a lot of businesses probably have got controls listed on the old risk assessments that may not be relevant. So in all of the cases, I would just say, if you've got one, review it. If not, you probably ought to start a new one.
And if you haven't got one, and it may be a very daunting prospect to suddenly put together a COVID secure risk assessment, what advice would you give to how you actually start that process?
I would always start with a bit of a plan. So, you know, have a look at your workplace. Actually do a bit of a review. Look at what you've got in place now. So if you're an office, for example, have a look at how far apart the desks are now, whether you could remove every second workstation, little practical things like that that might help. Do you need to bring all of your workforce back? Can you have some of them working from home? I think if you're starting from scratch, actually you've got a bit of an advantage in a way, because you're looking at the workplace and you've got to identify first of all what are the hazards, so i.e. COVID. Then you've got to look at who could be harmed and how well they could get infected, how well they might get exposed to the virus, how did that occur? Well, poor cleaning, you know, lack of social distancing, lack of ventilation. So, you know, think about the common areas of the workplace as well. Also think about external factors like any customers that might come in, or if you've got people that have to visit other sites, what are you doing to protect them? For instance, delivery drivers, things like that. Then you've got to go through, obviously, record your risk assessment, particularly important if you employ over 5 employees, and then, you know, assess the risks and take action. So look at what you need to do. My advice would be don't start the risk assessment, you know, prejudging what the end is going to be. If you are in a very small office, so if you've got a very small premises, and you start your risk assessment going, I'm going to bring absolutely all of my employees back, your risk assessment might actually say that it's not safe to do so. So if you can, keep some of them at home, do whatever's pragmatic, but make sure you keep that 2 meter distance and make sure that you keep your cleaning up to date. And also brief your staff on the content, involve your workforce on the risk assessment. The more they are involved, the more likely they are to sort of follow what you're wanting them to do. And they may actually have some really good ideas as well on how to get things right in the workplace and what makes them feel comfortable. So really, you know, start your risk assessment, have a look at what you've got. If you're reviewing it, absolutely fine, but compare it to the guidance now. Don't just run with what was there, because you may, you know, it's been a long time. We've been in and out of a lot of different lockdowns and tiers. And actually, you know, there are still local restrictions. For example, I think Bolton is in a local restriction. So places like Bolton, for example, might have other considerations that you need to factor in, including perhaps extending working from home. So really, you know, the key is, even though we can go out and be social, you still need that social distance at work. The best way to do that is with the 2 meters, cleaning, screens, sanitizer, and wherever you can, avoid the risk altogether and keep people at home.
After the break, we'll be taking a closer look at hybrid working arrangements, where you have part of your workforce remaining working from home if you're unable to bring everyone back at the same time. And we'll also be taking a look at the considerations of when you should start talking to your employees about the COVID secure risk assessment and your plans for their return. Michael, before the break, you were talking about the fact that many businesses will not be able to bring everyone back at once. And a lot of employers are talking about adopting these hybrid working arrangements, where people are working from home part of the week and then from a workplace the remaining part of the week. Are there any specific health and safety considerations you should bear in mind if you're thinking of adopting an arrangement like that?
I think it depends on how permanently you're going to adopt it. And like you've had a lot of experience lately in people saying we're looking to move to more of a hybrid, part-time in the office, part-time at home, permanent model. Now, the main thing is going to be thinking about display screen equipment. Now, on a sort of temporary basis, you know, temporary home working, we've been, you know, rightly or wrongly making the best of it, really, you know, as through the pandemic. If you're looking at that more permanently, you need to make sure that your employees have the right equipment to work from home safely. So, you know, my first bit of advice would be have a look at your home working risk assessments, because technically, actually, if you're working from home, it becomes a sort of almost a place of work. So it's best practice to look at that and what they're doing there. The other thing is obviously getting your employees to give you the information that you need. So things like you might want to make them do a home working checklist. So that talks about slips and trips, things like that, lighting, you know, all of the sort of things that you need to work from a computer. I mean, you know, most people that can work from home effectively are probably going to be in jobs where, you know, they are using display screen equipment. The final thing would be making sure they've done some display screen equipment training, and then an assessment as well, which might identify whether they need, for example, a specialist type of chair. In relation to that, you're probably going to have to consider budgeting for extra equipment for people. You might want to have, for example, give them the opportunity to take their existing office equipment home. But ultimately, if it's not possible for them to work from home effectively and safely, and you have a COVID secure office, you could bring your staff back. But really, it's going to be down to you to make that determination.
You've talked about involving employees and certainly being open to their feedback on your COVID secure measures, because they might have some very useful suggestions. At which point do you think employers should start discussing and communicating their plans with their employees?
I'd always say try and be as open as possible. So you might want to walk through yourselves, just have a look at the workplace, have a look what you do, and gather your own thoughts as to how you might see it working. But then also, that's when I'd involve your employees. So come up with an outline risk assessment and talk to them about it. If you've got safety representatives, either unionised or safety rowers, so representatives of employee safety, or even just a group of employees who are you fulfil that function, talk to them about it. Get the key stakeholders involved. The more you communicate, I think I genuinely believe, the more comfortable people will be. And if you take on board suggestions, then you can also hold them accountable if they don't then do it. So for instance, if you have someone, let's call her Jill, who comes into the workplace and says, it's a really good idea, let's clean three times a day and we should record it. You find no one in Jill's department's doing that. You can legitimately then turn around and go, well, hang on a minute, you had involvement with this, you saw the risk assessment, you signed it off, you were all happy with this. We've trained you in what you need to do. We've provided you with the correct equipment. Why aren't you doing it? And it becomes a lot harder for people to go, oh, I don't know. It also becomes a bit harder then for people to say, well, I wasn't involved in this. And you can say, well, actually, you did have involvement. That was your idea. So obviously, with consultation, keep records. I would try and just keep it under review as well. Things are moving so quickly at the moment. So if you do need to update your risk assessment, involve the people again, keep that communication open. But every time, make sure your employers are aware of any changes. Get them to sign it off if you can.
I think many employers are going to be a little bit daunted at the prospect of ensuring all of their employees know exactly what they should be doing and all their COVID secure plans are going to be implemented smoothly. Have you seen any good examples of how that's been done effectively?
Yes, there's a really good client that comes to mind, and obviously I can't name drop them, but they, in effect, they gave their employees a goodie bag. So they had briefed them previously before everyone came back on the risk assessment. They'd had a decent consultation. I think they'd even touched on individuals that were clinically vulnerable, and we can touch on that a bit later, actually. But they basically gave them e-learning, made a little video up. Now, not everyone has to do this. You can just send them a list of, this is where, if you have a one-way system, this is what you need to do. This is how often we're going to clean the premises. If you've got the high temperature, etc., or any of the symptoms, go home, or don't turn up, actually, is probably preferable. Including down to things like testing as well, people, doing home test kits, telling them not to come in if they're positive. So really, they did a great job of informing their staff before they came back, giving them the risk assessment, and then actually giving them things like, they had the goodie bag, it was great. I almost asked one myself, actually. It had a little bit of hand sanitizer in there, wipes for the desks, and a couple of branded up masks, which I thought was great for the common areas. So yeah, a lot of places, and to my knowledge, it worked really well. They seem to have really good feedback.
You touched there upon employees who may be clinically vulnerable or clinically extremely vulnerable. Obviously, there's no longer a requirement to shield at the moment, but many of these employees will be particularly hesitant about coming back, especially regarding, variants. So what advice would you give employers in dealing with those situations, and how they would approach risk assessing the situation for those particular individuals?
I think with people who are clinically extremely vulnerable, it's probably worthwhile doing an individual risk assessment, so take into account their concerns. Again, it comes back to that communication and openness. You know, if you can, make some adjustments. If they need, for example, if you've got a meeting room and they need to come back into the office, consider making that their office temporarily, you know, so they feel they've got that extra bit of security there. There are plenty of pragmatic things you can do. It may be that it's still safer to keep that employee at home until things are eased off and things return more to a normal, whatever that means now, situation. But yeah, start off, do your individual risk assessment and make sure that you've communicated with them. The amount of people who, I think, again, the main thing with it is communication. The amount of people who will do a risk assessment for an employee, an individual one, but not talk to them about what they've found is astoundingly high. So it's well worth, you know, involving people and being open and honest. And they'll probably feel a lot more comfortable then about coming in. You know, if you've put reasonable steps in, for example, you know, if you're giving them their own area, if they are coming in perhaps at different times when it's less busy, you know, there are plenty of steps. If they're still not wanting to come in after that, you know, I would take further advice at that point, probably from someone like yourself, Jill, you know, just to make sure that you're doing everything you can.
I think one of the areas employers are really struggling to get their head around is how you factor, and should you be factoring, vaccination status into those risk assessments. You know, have the health and safety exec formed a view on this, or what would your advice be and how you would deal with those issues?
Obviously, at the moment, there are, I believe the government is out with consultation basically with a number of industry bodies about mandatory vaccinations in certain sectors. Now, they haven't reported, as far as I'm aware, on those findings just yet. For the majority of businesses, actually, at the moment, I would say don't rely on employee vaccination status. The legislation at the moment is quite clear. It's social distancing. It's avoiding the risk altogether if you can. It's screens and hygiene. You know, the vaccine is a brilliant and miraculous way of reducing the infection rate and reducing mortality. It's not 100% effective. So we still need to rely on our controls in the workplace in first principles.
You mentioned earlier, Michael, that situation is constantly evolving. The roadmap reviews, which were due to be published by the end of May, it's now reported they're going to be pushed back into next week. But it is a really difficult situation for employers when the landscape is constantly moving. What advice would you give to businesses trying to remain compliant in that sort of environment?
I think really, you know, I'd always try and keep everything, and this is so frustrating to have to say, but it's where we are, keep everything under review. So have a plan, you know, start out with what you're going to do, complete your risk assessment, implement your controls involving your employees. And then actually one of the best things employers can do along with that really strong leadership and, you know, enforcing the rules is actually check. Are your controls working? Yeah, and record that as well. It's well worth going around your workplace, even if it's a small workplace. If you're a shop, for instance, why don't you do a bit of a spot check? So if you own a store, for instance, you want to check that the staff are all socially distanced, pop in. Yeah, have a look. If you're in the office, actually, you know, walk around, have a look, because people will be falling back into those habits. We've been doing this for over a year now. People are tired of it, but we've got to keep doing it. So check your controls are working. And if they're not, adjust them. You know, keep your staff refreshed, keep the training up. If you've got signage in the workplace, look to change it every now and then so it stays fresh. And, you know, where things really aren't working, or if you've implemented controls that perhaps are quite complicated, hard to understand, because, again, you know, it's the nature of the situation we're in. Sometimes it is hard to write something down clearly, then adjust it. But again, at each stage, communicate with your employees, keep them involved, keep them up to speed, but keep your messaging concise, clear, and easy to understand at all stages. But the main thing is keep it all under review. And as you say, every time the lockdown measures ease, have a look, work out what that means for your business. And, you know, quite often, actually, it won't mean a great deal because they still are wanting the social distancing and cleaning and hygiene involved.
Leeds Employment Tribunal recently saw a claim brought by an employee alleging that he had been dismissed because of raising health and safety issues at work. And it there was an interesting element of that case in that the employee was saying that although the employer had tried to put COVID secure measures in place, it had not been entirely successful because, for example, boxes of face coverings were empty. So it did look as though a lot of thought had been given it to the actual measures to be implemented, but then perhaps it had lost some momentum. And I think that might be something a lot of businesses might experience. What would your advice be to counter that within your organisation?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I'm not 100% familiar with that particular case, but I mean, I call that habit creep. So again, you know, you're getting back into the swing of things. More people are getting vaccinated. We're not quite being as diligent as we should be. And again, ways to avoid that really would be having that, as we spoke about earlier, it's the plan, you've got the plan in place, the do, you implement your controls, the check, and then the act bit. Now, that's where you need to make your responsibilities really clear. So in a risk assessment, for example, I would write something along the lines of, management will ensure adequate supplies of face coverings are at each entrance. Where employees notice that the face coverings are missing or depleted, they will report to management to ensure they're replenished. That way, you've made the responsibilities clear, but then in return, I would expect management to actually check that themselves as well. So you've got that, you've got the employee there with a responsibility, you've got the management there as well with a responsibility. Either way, you could argue that if the employee doesn't flag that up, actually it's an omission, so they're, it's potential to cause harm because they've made an omission. So really, you do want them to make sure that, it's common sense, but that's so rare, isn't it? If something's missing, it's everyone's job at the moment, and it's about training your employees to make sure that that's the case.
So everyone needs to be vigilant.
Everyone needs to be. You, me, everyone. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Michael. And I look forward to you sharing more health and safety insights in our future episodes.
Yeah, no worries, Jill. Good to be here. And, obviously it's going to be quite a disruptive few weeks for businesses as they get used to whatever new arrangements come in the light of these new variants. But no doubt we'll be back on the microphones in a couple of weeks' time to update everyone on what they need to do.
Yes, certainly. I think the publication of the roadmap reviews are going to give us much more certainty about what business will look like within the next 6 months. And therefore, we'll be putting together a podcast as soon as they're published to look at the HR and health and safety considerations that arise as a result of their findings. So we're coming to an end to today's episode. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed the second episode of the Citation Podcast, please feel free to leave us a review. If you're in need of the backing of Citation's experts on any of the topics discussed today, please get in touch with us at podcast@citation.co.uk. If you're a Citation client, feel free to give our advice lines a call. Alternatively, you can access our useful resources and guides on our website at www.citation.co.uk. Thank you. Goodbye.